When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to a brand new episode here of Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena. Also joining me is Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
What is going on, man?
All right, so in this episode of Gamertag Radio, we're going to be reviewing The Outer Worlds 2, which we've been playing for a while now. It's been like 3 weeks or so because we got to play even before people got it. We went to the studio and played like 8 hours or so over there, and we continue our process at home once we got the review copy. But yeah, we're gonna be talking about everything about the game. You know, Paris, have you got to play the first game? I think you did. You got to play the first one, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So yeah, we're gonna go from here, man. Paris, you're, how are we gonna start this, man? You want me to start right away? The good, the bad, everything?
Yeah, let's just jump right into it.
All right. So I'll tell you this, man. I really, really, really enjoy this game. I feel like it's a lot more challenging. The story is a lot deeper. Even the choices that you make on the selection of the companions will interfere with your campaign. Some factions might get along with you even more because of the certain people that you're with, or they might not work with you at all. You know, so conversations, you have to be super careful on the dialogue because that also interferes of like unlocking new quests, not unlocking things, or sometimes you can even complete certain things because of the choices that you make in the game. I feel this is a deeper story, darker than the first game, a lot darker. And the thing that I love the most about this is also this challenging, because I felt like the first one was easy to me. I changed it a couple times. I also put it on like the hardest difficulty, and it was like no problems at all. Right now, I'm playing my second playthrough of The Outer Worlds 2. And the reason is because I noticed that there was two companions that I never unlocked during my first playthrough. So that's the thing that I like, where I think there's a lot of things that I missed out. I reached out to level 30. I played a normal the whole time. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. There were some times that it took me a while to complete certain quests. Maybe because I wasn't leveled up in certain things, like certain areas, like let's say hacking, science, speech, leadership, all those things, that all those perks that you have available in the game, you have to level up in order for you to, for certain quests to be a lot easier.
Now, to be clear,
yeah,
what you just described, those are skills, which are
skills.
Different than perks.
Sorry. Yeah. Perks. There's perks and the skills. Sorry, the skills I'm talking about. Yeah, that part where it took me a while, especially the beginning when we were playing it at the studio, I felt like we rushed it because we wanted to go to like certain place for us to capture and talk about everything. And getting there was a mission because we rushed it. I feel like when you take your time in this game, talk to everybody. I feel like you have to talk to everybody. Do all the side quests as much as you can in order for you to level up your character, get some perks, get some skills, weapons, everything, so on. And and also will help you to unlock other things too. But I really, really enjoyed this game a lot, man. Much more than the first game. I think they did a phenomenal job with the story. Really, really good with that. And the part where I think I really love the most too is like the way how it looks, the game. I remember the first couple minutes I land to this planet after the prologue of the story, after that. I land to this planet and I notice explosions and stuff happening. I'm like, yo, what? That wasn't like this in the first game. The level design is so, so much bigger than the first game. I feel like the other one is a lot smaller, easy to, you know, run around to go from A to B. This one's a lot bigger. A lot bigger. Thank God that there's fast travel too in this one, because if not, it will take forever to get to certain sections in the game, you know? So I think this is good, man. Obsidian, let me tell you, man, Obsidian has been one of the best studios this year so far of like releasing games. All three games, totally different experiences. Three different teams. And I know we talked about that on the show. And the team that worked on this learned a lot from the first game and just made this package a lot better. And I think people are going to really, really enjoy, especially if you love RPG games, especially from Obsidian. You're going to love this game for sure.
Paris? Yeah, completely agree. So I want to be upfront about a couple things first. So like you said, we went to Obsidian a few weeks ago and we got a head start to play there, and we're able to take our save from there and go home. I chose to not use that save because everything that you just said, I felt we rushed the early part, right? And I better understood how to leverage the skills, perks I wanted, you know, things like that. So I was a renegade. I'm brilliant, of course. And I leaned heavily into engineering, science, and hacking. And then I threw some additional points into gunplay as well. Perks, obviously, I tried to leverage perks that, and I'll get into this in a second, but I leaned into perks that best fit the skills that I picked, right? And the traits that I have. And to kind of offset, because a part of this is you'll pick traits, but then you'll have a negative side to it as well, right? So I tried to get perks that would kind of offset that too. I, as you know, ran into a technical issue the other day. And believe it or not, I didn't tell you this yet. I resolved the issue today, now, right before we recorded. So I have not finished the Outer Worlds 2. So I want to be clear on that. I think I'm level 24, maybe almost 25. I have 20 plus hours into the game. So I have a good feel for it. I understand everything that's going on. So I feel good talking about it. But I love this. I love that. This really pulls, because you got to remember, Leonard worked on Fallout, right? Obviously, Brandon, the game director, he worked on the first Outer Worlds, right? They really leaned into some of that legacy of the first Outer Worlds, and even going into Fallout, like I would think even more specifically Fallout New Vegas, when it comes to a lot of RPG and the dialogue choices that you have in this. This really is a deep-rooted RPG as far as the choices that you make, the traits and the skills and the perks that you pick up, the weapons that you'll get as far as adding mods, armor upgrades, things like that. I really love that because Brandon, you know, been fortunate enough to talk to Brandon a few times leading up to launch. He was very specific that there ain't no respecking in this game. So the choices that you make will matter. The dialogue choices that you make will matter. There are things that you will not encounter because of your decisions that you make, right? Or the skills that you pick up, there'll be certain doors or chests or whatever, right? Like if you don't have enough skill in lock picking or something like that, or hacking, you may not be able to get something. There may be a desirable item or something that you need that you will never encounter. Again, the choices that you make will divert how the story plays out for you in a way. So I love that you will be encouraged, like you already said, during your second playthrough, you will be encouraged to go back and play differently, make different decisions, have different skills, different perks, see how that plays out as far as the combat that you're doing. And like I said, just things that you'll be able to access and characters that you'll meet, because like you said, you didn't get all the companions, and pretty sure I'm not going to get them all either. So there'll be that as well. You already touched on the fact that the companions that you do pick and who you side with will have ramifications to the factions and how they'll treat you. Let me put it this way. Again, I'm trying to be careful in sports, but the second area that you go to, they mad at you, boy. They mad at me. Yeah. Boy, I can show up. It is shoot on sight in certain areas, boy. So there's like certain quests and things that I'm not going to compete because they mad at me. Like I'll give this part up. So did you do the quests where the Minotaur was the leader?
Yes.
Were you able to complete it? Like, again, I'm trying to be careful of spoilers, yeah. But did you complete that quest?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I did not.
Why is that?
Because a decision I made, I decided to give something to someone that pissed off everybody.
And you gotta be careful. You can't do that. That's the thing.
There was chaos as a result. So anytime I try to go back to that area, they're trying to kill you, boy. They're like, no, you gotta go. Mm-hmm. You gotta get out of here. Mm-hmm. Right? So yeah. And you'll see other instances of this as you go through. There's, again, I'm trying to be careful here. Mm-hmm. There's a companion that you get depending on some choices that you make and a decision you have to make. Mm-hmm. And if you make a certain decision, this companion will come with you. And there's ramifications if this companion comes with you versus I'm definitely want to do that again to see what happens if I make another decision and how that plays out. Right.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I decided to keep the companion, but mm-hmm. I'm planning to my second playthrough.
And I kept that companion too.
To see what happens. Yeah.
And she's no one to spoil anything, but that companion is my favorite.
She's a badass. She's really good. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't like her though.
This is what I'm saying.
Here's the crazy part. This even your companion. Some of them might have beef with the other companion. Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah, like one of them was like, yo, I don't trust this person. Like, why you you invited her or him to be inside the ship to be part of the team? Yeah, it's funny.
And again, I'm a dick in this game. I'm a straight a-hole. I always pick the meanest thing I possibly can. So there's one companion. This is my freaking cheerleader. Boy, be rooting me on. Yeah! Like, we love it when I'm doing stuff like that. But yeah, it's... I really like, and I talked about this in the preview, but I'll say this again because it really, really plays out as you get deeper into the game. Mm-hmm. I love how it does not hold your hand.
Nope.
At all. It does not hold your hand. It will lead you to an area, and then it is up to you to figure it out on whatever it is you're trying to discover, whatever you're looking for, right? There was a certain boss character that I defeated that I was told, hey, you can get their weapon. Because it's not like, oh, the boss dies, and then I just loot the body, and now I have the weapon. It was like, no, you need to go find it. Right. So that almost became like a quest on its own just to find it because they give you no real clues on where it is. You just know it's in that area somewhere and you got to go figure it out. Right. Mm-hmm. Did you do and I'm talking more early in the game because I don't want to spoil nothing. Did you do the quest where there's the two scientists behind the glass talking?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So did you complete that?
I didn't because it looks like. They got killed.
Oh, interesting.
And
that's
I couldn't finish, and I got close to the end. I'm like, I get there, I'm like, yo, why are they dead? What happened here? And I couldn't.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Totally the opposite of what I did. Complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah, I was like, because I was like, leveling up my character, right? I wanted to reach to level 30 because that's an achievement too. Because that's the highest level. I think it was like that too the first game. So I was like, oh, let me just do side quests and open stuff, whatever. And I was almost done with that, right? So why go back to that glass area, right? I think it looked like a... I don't know if it was like a classroom or something. I don't know. But I go in there. And I check in the glass. I see one of them dead, and the other one is not there. And I'm like, wait, what happened? Yeah, and I'm like, what happened? I don't know if I did something wrong or what.
So see, you made a choice or just something completely different than what I did.
But that's the thing. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Right.
So that was interesting. I never could have finished that quest, you know? But here's the thing. Like, there's quests where – yeah, let's say somebody doesn't want to work with you or whatever. While you were doing the quest, sometimes you will get XP for that because you complete it in a different way, but it's not the true finished version of that quest, you know? So, go ahead.
And actually, and this is a part of a critique I have. So there were certain, because you'll get like side quests and you'll get like tasks and things that you can do that are outside the main mission. And there'll be like optional stuff that you can do in there, right? And I notice, again, the decisions you make, someone you might piss off or whatever. I would get the item that was needed for this optional thing, right? Thinking, oh, okay, cool, I'll get some XP for this or whatever, help leveling up. But because of something I did, I don't get anything because I'm not able to turn in that thing. And it's a critique, but I kind of get it because, again, this game is not holding your hand. Your decisions matter, where I'm like, well, damn, I did what the game wanted me to do, but because of this other thing, I can't 100% it. Like, finish it, even though you would think the second I get that item, I could. Just because I can't hand it to that person now, I don't get the XP for it. Little critique I have in there, but I get it at the same time. And that's where I say, hey, this game is not holding your hand. I love that it is really being a true RPG in that way. You mentioned it's dark, but even though it being dark, I found, and I think Obsidian, like even going back, like what Avowed, I think they really cook with the narrative team. In that, a lot of humor as well.
Oh, no, yeah, were, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of great, great funny moments. A lot of things where, again, depending on the skills or the traits that you have, you may not be able to, you know, get a certain thing. And then it'll, like, I think, wasn't there a trait or something about being dumb? There was something about being dumb, and it just made me laugh because I wasn't intelligent enough to be able to do it or for whatever reason. What was I going to say on that? So I really like those aspects that it makes you pay attention to detail on how you're the points that you're putting into your perks and your skills. And then even your companions as well, you're obviously leveling them up and there's perk points and things that you're going to put into them. And, you know, I like that you're able to kind of swap that stuff around a little bit, depending on the scenario that you're in, but that comes in handy. Now I'll say this, this is just minor spoiler for me. The one companion I kept with me all the time, Val. Same. Never left my side.
Same,
never
same.
Left Val. And the reason being, because Val could heal me.
Yep. So I made a mistake. I was like, I don't need Val anymore. I could just use two companions, which they're really good in fighting. But man, I was struggling healing. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, you know what? Let me release one of the companions that fight and keep Val. That's what I did. But yo, I did that one time and I was struggling just to heal up. Struggling.
Right.
Because I got used to Val. Now, here's another thing I want to mention where there's going to be cases where you talk to somebody for a quest, whatever that you're working on, and then your companion says something. And you have the choice. Do you want to say something or let your companion handle their business?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's also very important because that will also mess up your relationship and also your quest based on your choices that you make. Or there might be even beef between your companion and you because you didn't let them finish talking or whatever and you decide like, I'm going to say something to this person and
right,
you completely
right.
mess it up. So that's something also you got to be careful. Like it's not like you're right, Paris. Like this game is not easy at all. It's not easy. So, then, but it's a good thing. It's a good
thing. I know. It is a good thing. Now, another thing, minor critique that I have is going back to, like you said, there's certain characters, we were talking about this in the preview, but there's certain characters you'll run into where it's just like they're stubborn and you just cannot get them to do what you want them to do. And then I notice as we get deeper in the game, I was running into that problem where maybe I'm trying to resolve it peacefully or something like that. And I'm seeing that things are locked down into higher speech or something like that, or leadership or whatever. Right. And I get it. Like I said, I get it because it's where you want to invest your skill points into. Mm-hmm. But it almost feels like, okay, because I decided to invest in these things, you're going to force me down this path with the resolution that I'm not able. Like, clearly there's a potential peaceful resolution to this, but because I don't have the speech skill to do it, I can't resolve it that way. And like I said, it's a critique. Because I understand why. Because there's other stuff that I was able to hack into or being an engineer, a door I'm able to open or whatever, or, you know, science. I'm able, you know, to science my way out of something. So I get it. It really shows how, depending on your builds And what you decide to invest into is going to give you branching paths on resolutions and, again, for story moments and things that you're going to encounter in the game.
Yeah, another thing that we haven't mentioned is there's computers in a lot of different places where you'll find messages, you know, information about certain things in there. This is even more helpful than the first game because you're going to discover things in there that relates to the story, relates to the quest. And when you have conversation with certain individuals in the game, sometimes you have that choice in your dialogue where you learn something based on some information you either you found out talking to someone or because you checked the computer. And that also is another way for you to complete the quest. So like this quest where there's different ways to finish it. You have the choice to finish it in whatever version you want, right? So like, for example, this one where, and this was like the first boss battle that we went to Paris when we were at the studio. For example, for that location, we went through. We were like, yo, we're going to go in. I'm going to shoot everybody and figure it out, right? But there's other ways to complete that. And this is not a spoiler. This is just, you know, an example. You could do that. You could shoot. There's also a sewer that will let you in, and you can sneak in. There's another one where on the side of that headquarters, right, of that building, there's a cable. And when you follow that cable, that's the electricity of that building. You could go and go to the main power of that, shut it down. All the weaponry doesn't work. Lights, everything is just chaotic. It doesn't work. And that's another way for you easier to get in and also figure out how to finish
it. I want to point out something.
What's up?
That's a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler.
Yes, it is. You're telling them how to get in.
But that's at the beginning. That's like right at the beginning of the game. It's not really like, you know, it's part of the demo. It was part of the preview, you know, like how is different ways how to get in, you know. But that's the thing that I love about the game is there's different solutions, but it's up to you to figure it out.
On which how to one, figure it out.
How to figure it out and which one is going to work best for you and for your character, you know. So
along those lines, like I told you, I decided to do a completely different run through, right, versus what we did at the studio. Yeah. So remember, it was Benny Hill. We were at the studio because we were kind of underleveled. Help, you know, sneaking in.
Yeah.
I found another way to get in. Your boy just walked right on in. It was all good.
Really?
Yes.
And no beef? No.
Look, some beef once I was in there, but I found a more peaceful way in, and I'm not going to spoil it. People will see when they go through. But that goes back to what we're saying, where when we played the studio, we felt we kind of rushed the early part of the game. Took my time more. Definitely did a lot more side quests. I was way more leveled up. Because when I got to the boss in Vox Relay, murked him. No problems.
But for me, it took me a little bit because I was weak. But once I finished that Vox Relay area, bro, I was like taking my time, not even doing anything from the main quest. It was just side quests, bunch of other things I was doing, the companion quests, which is another thing that I think is very important, because the more you find out about your companion, the better relationship you're going to have with them, and the more things you learn about them, like their history and all that stuff. So it is important to do that. It's one where one of the companions he's the only one that I completely finished his side of the story. I messed up not doing the other ones, like completing and everything like that. But it was actually a pretty good story. I really enjoyed it overall. Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So going back to one thing, because we kind of lightly touched on weapons and armor. I will highly encourage people that when you get weapons, you're going to see mod slots in there. And there's the crafting portion of this as well. Upgrade your weapons. You will find some mods that will really enhance that weapon that you have, and you'll be able to use it. Like, again, kind of just minor spoiler here. There's essentially a shock rifle that I'm able to get. I guess these are exotics. You got like, you know, common, rare, exotic or whatever. So it's like an exotic shock rifle. And when I put in the two mods for it, I was able to essentially just chain chain electricity through multiple characters. So when you run into scenarios where you got mobs of enemies coming at you, that came in very handy. Obviously, there's stuff where there's armor, like you'll have your armor that you put on, you have your helmets. There were certain perks in one of those abilities where it enhanced that against like auto mechs, things like right that, right? Where I'm able to take them down more. I had a biochemical weapon, which I would use on common enemies, and it would just take them down like with ease, right? And again, I'm updating mods on it to make it more and to enhance it. Again, going back to the armor stuff, like you can get perks where you're less vulnerable to basically poison toxicity, or it'll increase your health, right? Or make you more damage resistance. There's a lot of mixing and matching of the weapons and the armor and the helmets that you'll be able to do to find what works best for you with the weapons that you like to use. Like I said, I found my weapons of choice being more rifles and pistols. There's obviously melee weapons that you can get as well. And it's just how you want to play it and the skills that you invest into that stuff. Because again, like I invested in the guns, I got a perk, which gave me more damage with rifles and pistols. So like, okay, that makes sense, but you can do melee. If you want to be more of a melee guy, and there's perks that you can do to enhance that. So there's a lot of, like I said, I swear to God, we're going to see when people get this in their hands, people are going to have, you're going to see videos and spreadsheets that people are putting out. These are the best perks to go with this weapon or this skill. Like, there's going to be all kind of crazy builds. Cause even, you know, when we're at the studio, Brandon was talking about, and I won't spoil it, but he was talking about his new favorite build that he's doing, and he's playing it on hard. And it was the perk. He took the perk where it was, and I'm blanking on the name, but it was brand. Like, in other words, you get weapons from this certain brand, you get more enhanced, you know, percentages on damages and things like that. So that made sense for him with the type of build that he was using. So I am definitely excited to do something completely different than what I'm doing now. Cause like I said, I'm being more techie with this build, but now I'm thinking you could do a sneak build where I'm heavily investing in lock picking, things like that. So, you know, and then there's perks and things that make you damn near make you invisible. Like, I think there's one where if you take so much damage, like, I think you get the, if you're under 50%, you're camouflaged, right? Stuff like that, you know, or you could do one where you heavily invest more into the weapon side where you just want to come in guns blazing. Like, I would like to see how that would play out as well. So I'm digging it, man. I really think Obsidian took what they had with the original Outer Worlds and they've greatly expanded upon it. So even just talking about the world itself, right? Because again, it's zones. I mean, if you played Avowed, think something like that, but it's zones. It's not like it's true open world or anything like that, but it's these zones that you'll go into. Some are pretty expansive. Obviously, you're going to be encouraged to discover, walk around. Like you already mentioned, there's fast travel in there because trust me, that will come in clutch when you want to get from one thing back to another versus trying to traverse across the area. Not to mention, if you try to traverse on foot, there's landmines you got to worry about. If you pissed off a certain faction, they may be trying to shoot you along the way. Like, that definitely comes in handy as well. But this is bigger and better than the first Outer Worlds for sure. And you can see all the lessons learned that they've taken from the first Outer Worlds, like I said, going all the way back into Fallout and truly making this a very robust RPG that I think we're going to see a lot of different builds. And just even you and I talking right now, we already got different stories.
Different story, yeah.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know what happened to me, Paris? So during the game, I will take stuff. You know, it's like like Fallout.
Well, I already knew what you were going to say. But go ahead.
Where it says it's red, but look, if somebody sees you, you're screwed because something will happen, right? So I'm there. I'm like, no, nobody's around. At one of the areas, I had the door open, and there was somebody outside. It was just, you know, standing. It wasn't – I don't know if they were looking or not. And I'm like, nobody's going to know. And I just took it because I needed – I think it was something with for healing. I needed, right? Because I was running low on money. I'm like, yo, screw it. Let me just steal this. So I stole it. Bro, the whole town after me. I start shooting. I'm like, yo, boom. I start shooting, you know, because I'm like, yo, I'm being attacked, right? So I killed a couple of people that were trying to attack me. I left. I totally forgot about it, right? I went to – back to a different area that was part of that world of that planet. A different area. Those people also after me. Like, everybody's after me. And there was one where I had to do a quest where I had to speak with someone very important in the game. And I couldn't get to that area because it was part of that group and I didn't know. So I'm there trying to bum rush. Everybody's trying to go after me, saying things and everything. Right, I get to her. And some guy just came out of nowhere. Hey, you got to pay up. Pay up for all the damages you caused, whatever, blah, blah. And after that, and I didn't even have enough. He was charging me a lot of money. I'm like, yo, I don't have enough. This is all I have. And he's like, all right, I'll let this one slide, but I'll take what you have. And after that, they stopped. And that was pretty crazy and intense.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was kind of alluding to before. Now, did you also run into a thing where, I was being a little bad with money for a while, right? And, and there was a couple other things. But that one specifically sticks out in my mind where it popped up a flaw where it was like, we noticed that you're really bad with money and how you're doing this. We'll give you this flaw and you'll get, like, in other words, Val would start keeping some of the money for me, like in a savings account. And if I took that, it's permanent. You can't get rid of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. The game warned me against doing it because it was saying this is your first playthrough. You might not want to do that on the first playthrough. You might want to do it later on. So I think that's cool. And there were some other instances of some other flaws that popped up as well, where there's a positive and a negative to you being able to do it, right? And you have to choose, is it worth doing? Is that negativity worth doing as I progress through the game? So this is what I'm saying. I really like this aspect of it, that they're really paying attention to a lot of your actions in the game and how you're playing the game. And, you know, you're leaning way too much into this. This is now a flaw for you. So we're going to give you this option if you so choose. I also like how Moon Man, when you know, say you save the game, you come back later, he's kind of giving you a synopsis of where you currently are in the game and some of the stuff that you did. So I like that he's almost like a narrator, you know, as you're going through the story. What is it? Earth. I'm blanking. I'm going to screw this up because I'm in front of me. Earth. I'm the Earth Defense.
Was it? I can't remember.
Earth Defense Doctor, something like that. I'm screwing that up. And I apologize. But, you know, that's who you are. And you're on this mission. I won't, you know, spoil anything. And, you know, like I said, you will definitely have some tough decisions to make along the way. And I really appreciate that in the game. But like I said, I love it. I love it for, even if you were to just run through this one time, because I think you said you did about 30 hours. It seems like
34? Mine's going to 34.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine's going to wind up being in the 30s once I'm 100% done. But I definitely feel a need, like there's replayability here. Absolutely. I want to go play it. Now, I want to go back to another gripe that I have.
Oh,
and okay. It could just be the build that we're playing because we are playing pre-launch, right? Look, there may or may not have been an update that gave me some issues along the way. But I noticed it's running because you mentioned the visuals on Unreal 5. Looks great. Bro, I've been playing on Steam and even on a 5090, I'm noticing like there's DLSS4 in here, frame generation, all those things, which is great. I had to lock it to 60 performance wise, because at first I was like, all right, let's, because my monitor goes up to 144. I had 144, was noticing screen tearing, all that. All right, let me drop it down. 120, it seemed like it was playing fine for a while. Then I noticed some wonky stuff. I put it down to 60. I'm good. And I'm playing at 4K resolution as well. But, and again, this could just be pre-release, but I'm just throwing it out there. I just noticed some of that from a performance standpoint. Not bad. And some pop-in when you come into a level every now and again, stuff like that. But obviously, these are things that may be resolved with day one updates. Well, obviously, I have to see. But just want to put that out there, too.
No, that's good to know. Yeah, because we didn't play the console version. We played the PC version, so just want to make sure we mention that. And one thing also we have to warn people that play in the PC version, because look, everybody have different computers, different PCs. There is going to be shaders in the beginning where it's loading, and it warns you it might take a few minutes. You know, so like for example, I tested out on my Xbox Ally, the Xbox Ally one, not the dark one, the white one, and it took a while. Right after that is done, once you load up the game, it's super fast. It's really, really fast. So just want to mention that. It looks good also on the ultra wide screen. Looks fantastic. Now there's certain parts of the game where they're so cinematics where it just goes small, turns to the small screen, and then it will go back to ultra wide screen. I also want to mention that. Also, of course, there's going to be tons of different type of endings in this game. It all depends on your companions, the people that you meet, the choices that you make. So there's hundreds of different type of, and this is me guessing, there got to be like hundreds of different type of endings here, because there's people that you might not meet and it's not part of the ending, and it all depends on your choices. So I hope one day when we sit down with Websiding, or we sit them in the future, I want to ask them, like, how many endings do you think you guys have in total? Because
yeah,
because my ending was pretty long. It was long, long, but because I met a lot of people through my journey, you know, so it's going to be different for everybody else, you know? So
no, absolutely. So mm-hmm. to your point about where we played, obviously we went to the studio and it was pre-release. So that's, we started on Steam. So I just stayed on Steam. I did load it up on the Ally X, played briefly on it just to kind of see how it performed. I mean, it seemed fine, you know, for mm-hmm. being on the handheld, but in early release, did not try it on the Steam Deck. So I can't comment on that. I am curious when I do my second run, I'm going, because, oh, let me back up. So this is Xbox Network Aware. So you sign in on your Xbox account, it's going to pull over your achievements and all that, but it's not cross progression from Steam back over to Xbox. If you want cross progression between PC and console, you'll need to obviously start up the Xbox version. So my second build, I am going to hop on Series X. I want to see how it plays on that. And then obviously I can just load it up on PC from there and just play for, you know, from the Xbox app, you know, for cross play and stuff, or cross save, I should say, on that as well. But overall, I'm impressed with this. You know, I had been saying for years, ever since Xbox acquired Obsidian, I was like, we're going to look back and say, this was the most important acquisition that Xbox has done in their history. And I still stand by that. 2025 alone just says that. I mean, being able to launch three games, two RPGs, a survival game, you know, we're grounded to, and just what they've done with the Outer Worlds 2. I'm very impressed with it. I love it. I think this is a fantastic game. Can't wait to wrap this up, because I think I see where story's headed. So I'm going to see how this wraps up. Might be another surprise or two for me at the end, but I loved it. Really loved it. Definitely recommend. People, if you're into RPGs, if you love Obsidian RPGs, if you love Bethesda RPGs, I think this will be right down your alley that you're going to want to play.
I mean, this was the perfect way how to end the year for Xbox, honestly. With all the releases they've been having throughout this year, this was the way how to end it. Because this game is phenomenal. It's so good. I highly recommend it, man. If you guys have Game Pass or PC, PS5, you should definitely give this a try. Hopefully. We'll see this on Switch too in the future, because the original Switch, they had the first Outer Worlds, but we'll see. That's a different story. But yeah, this game is phenomenal, man. One of my favorite games I play this year. It's so, so good. As an RPG fan, must have. Thanks to Obsidian. Thanks to Xbox for the opportunity, for giving us a code early for us to play it and talk about it. And congrats to Obsidian for a great year, man. They hit a home run of this year, man. Lots of surprises, man. Lots of surprises with them. Nobody was expecting that the Outer Worlds was coming out this year when they before the announcement. It was like one of those like surprises, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so,
it was
like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And you're doing Grounded 2? And you just did a foul? Yeah, it was crazy.
Crazy. But that's about it, man. Paris, thanks for the review, man. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts after you finish the game, man, because I have questions.
No, of course. Yeah. Next few days, we'll get that taken care of.
All right. All right, until next time, we're out. Take care. Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.